How exalted you are. Twam unto you. Aham, myself. Devavaram, worshipped by the demigods. Varenyam, the greatest of all. Rapadje, fully surrendering. Isham, unto the Supreme Controller. Pratibodhanaya, for understanding the real purpose of life. Chindhi, cut off. Arthadipahai, by the light of purposeful instruction. Bhagavan, O Supreme Lord. Vachovihi, by your words. Grantin, knots. Ridayan,
fixed within the core of the heart.
Vivrinu,
kindly explain.
Swam Okaha, my destination in life. The translation. O Supreme Lord, for self-realization, I surrender unto you, who are worshipped by the demigods as the supreme controller of everything. By your instructions, exposing life's purpose, kindly cut the knot from the core of my heart and let me know the destination of my life. So you can repeat, O Supreme Lord. For self-realization,
I surrender unto you,
who are worshipped by the demigods,
as the supreme controller of everything.
By your instructions,
exposing life's purpose,
kindly cut the knots
from the core of my heart,
and let me know the destination of my life.
So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Sometimes it is argued that people do not know who is a spiritual master, and that finding the spiritual master from whom to get enlightenment in regard to the destination of life is very difficult. To answer all these questions, King Satyavrata shows us the way to accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the real spiritual master. The Supreme Lord has given full directions in Bhagavad Gita about how to deal with everything in this material world and how to return home back to Godhead. Therefore, one should not be misled by so-called gurus who are rascals and fools. Rather, one should directly see the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the guru or instructor. It is difficult, however, to understand Bhagavad Gita without the help of the guru. Therefore, the guru appears in the parampara system. In Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, text 34, the Supreme Personality of Godhead recommends. Tadviri prani patana pariprasnena sevya upadekshanti devyanam yaninas tadva darshanaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Lord Krishna directly instructed Arjuna. Arjuna is therefore tattva darshi or guru. Arjuna accepted the Supreme Personality of Godhead, param brahma, param dhamma, pavitram paramam bhavan. Similarly, following in the footsteps of Sri Arjuna, who is a personal devotee of the Lord, one should accept the supremacy of Lord Krishna as supported by Vyasa, Devala, Asita, Narada, and later by the Acharyas. Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Nimbarka, and Vishnu Swami, and still later by the greatest Acharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Where then is the difficulty in finding a guru? If one is sincere, he can find the guru and learn everything. One should take lessons from the guru and find out the goal of life. Maharaj Satyavrata therefore shows us the way of the Mahajana. Mahajano Yena Yata Sapantaha. One should surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dashavatara, and learn from him about the spiritual world and the goal of life. So, Tvam Tvam Aham Deva Bhavram Varenyam Prapadyahi Sham Pratibodhanaya Chinyartadipar Bhagavatam Pachovir Grantin Vidyan Vivrinu Swamhokaha. So, Omagana Timidanda Shah Gananjana Sulakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yenatasmai Shigurave Namaha. So there's very, very important points being made here. First of all, the Lord is the Guru, and would you need to turn up the volume? It's very low. Even when I swallow it, it's low. The Lord is the Guru. Guru is one. And all people who are portraying themselves as gurus should be simply repeating what the Lord has said. In other words, the Lord is a guru. And of course, we know that the guru expansion of the Lord is Balaram. Naimakwa vala hinena labwa. As mentioned in the Vedic literatures, no one makes any spiritual advancement unless they get Balaram's mercy. And then also, Balaram poila nitai. Balaram is Nityananda, Nityananda is Balaram. So he's the guru, and the guru is his representative. Everybody should understand that. And of course, in every disciplic succession, the Lord is the originator of the disciplic succession. Whether you're talking about the Sri Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya, Lakshmi Sampradaya, that is Sri, of course, Kumara Sampradaya, or Brahma Sampradaya, it all starts with Krishna or Vishnu, you know, expansion of Krishna. So it's, Krishna is always the guru. So, of course, we may not have Krishna directly as our initiating spiritual master. Some people do. Actually, Prabhupada said the residents of Vrindavan directly have Krishna as their spiritual master. So we shouldn't criticize them. They're on a very special platform. So we have a representative of Krishna coming down in this cyclic succession. And as mentioned by Prabhupada, it's not very difficult to find a guru, because if one wants a bona fide guru, then Krishna sends. Krishna reciprocates, as we mentioned yesterday, Radesha Arjuna Tishtati. We have so many verses in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says he's situated in the heart. So if really someone wants to find a bona fide guru, he will. And if someone wants to be cheated, guess what? He will. He will get cheated. Everything's based upon the desire of the living entity. Just like, and I mentioned before, in the 1960s, we had so many so-called, or probably called bogus gurus, so-called gurus, and people were getting cheated, buying mantras from the gurus, increasing their sex life because of the guru's instruction, and the guru, I think, died from AIDS or something. So, you know, they just wanted something, not the truth. They wanted to be cheated, so it's like that. You know, you put together a cheater and the cheated. And of course, the whole material world, as Prabhupada said, is the cheaters and the cheated people. So one has to have the right desire. Now, if you have the right desire, then you also have to, well, let's understand, first of all, before we talk about looking for the guru or accepting someone as a guru, then you, you have to understand the importance of the guru is mentioned here. In the Bhagavatam, in the fifth canto, text 1 and 2, we find some very interesting information. Fifth canto, of course, first chapter is the instructions of Lord Rishabhadev. And the first verse, of course, Lord Rishabhadev gives some general instructions to his sons. Not so much about guru. The second chapter, second verse is about guru. First verse, he says, Nayam deho deha bhajam viloke kastam kamam avite vipujam ye tapotivyam putukuyena satvam chujyat yasmat brahma shokya tvanantam. He says, my dear sons, you have obtained a human body, Nayam Deho Deha, Vajam Riloke. And, but he said, don't act like pigs, basically. Kastam Kamam Arde Vidbujam Ye. You don't act like this. The word for pig in this particular context is stool eaters. Vidbujam. Because actually, if you go to Vrindavan, or practically anywhere in India, you understand why pigs are called stool eaters. Because they have the open sewers in many places, running through the side of the street, not the middle of the street usually. And the pigs are just having their prasadam, I guess. No, it's all right for them. Because that's their food. And our food is, actually, Prabhupada says, like sweet rice. If you offer a pig sweet rice, it may not be so enthusiastic as it will be for the stool. So, vidbhujam ye. And Lord Shavadev says, tapo divya. Therefore, don't give in to your senses. Execute austerity. Actually, this principle of austerity is taught by every guru, and every guru learns it from Krishna, who gave that instruction at the beginning of the creation, when Lord Brahma was trying to figure things out, just like it's described here. The purpose of life, the destination of life, and all these things. Then all Lord Brahma heard, the only instruction he got was tapa, execute austerities. And so he was very successful in that. So tapo divyam putraprakiyena sinva, shudyas. So Lord Shavade tells his sons, execute austerity for transcendental reasons. Putraka. Putraka means, my dear son, yenasabam. Shudyad yajma brahma shokwa vanantam. In this way you'll be happy. You'll experience unlimited happiness. And this is a very important verse. So, but as far as referring to the topic of this verse today, then the second verse in this chapter is important. That if you want to execute transcendental austerity, because that's in reference to the first verse, second verse is in reference to the second, first verse, then mahatseva mahor vimuktes. You have to do what? You have to serve what? Mahatmas. Literally, that verse states, Mahatsevam Uhur Vimuktes. The door to liberation, Dwaram, Mahatsevam Dwaram, sorry. Dwaram, the door to liberation is open. And Tamo Dwaram, Yoshita Sangi Sangam, that's the opposite. If you serve someone who is not a Mahatma, then the door to basically Tamo, ignorance is open. Tamodwaram Yoshita Sangi Sangam. It says, Sangi Sangam basically means those who are attached to the opposite sex. Sangi Sangam. And so, anyway, so therefore, Prabhupada speaks in other contexts that people, according to their desires, consider certain individuals to be Mahatmas. Sometimes people consider, like Prabhupada talked often about, rubber stamping Mahajanas or rubber stamping someone as a Mahatma. We're not going to mention who that was. but Prabhupada was very specific about, and Krishna is very specific about what a Mahatma is. And in the Bhagavad Gita, of course, we have the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Mahatmanas tu maam partha daivam bhagavati ashrita. Everybody knows that verse? Very famous verse. Mahatmanas tu maam partha. The Mahatmas, here's my definition, Krishna says. Tu maam partha daivam prakriti mashrita. They've taken shelter of the internal potency of the Lord. In other words, shelter of Krishna consciousness. In other words, they are sharanagati. This word sharanagati means to surrender, basically. And to take shelter of the internal potency of the Lord means to surrender to the internal potency. And it means, according to Lord Chaitanya, to accept everything favorable. This is again austerity. To accept everything favorable, preserving Krishna, and reject everything unfavorable. To understand the Lord is all. Lord is always. Lordy. The Lord is always. Lordy is always. Anyway, the Lord is always protecting you. The Lord is always maintaining you. To understand, or to have no separate interest in the interests of the Lord, and to be meek and humble. These are the six principles of Sharanagati. So that's what Daivam Prakritim Ashrita. That's what it means, Daivam Prakritim Ashrita. Take shelter of the internal potency. And the symptom is Pajanchananya Manaso, that a pure devotee is simply engaged, or a Mahatma. Let's keep the same nomenclature. Is simply engaged in glorifying Krishna. He has no other activity. Bhajant Ananya. Ananya means no other. Manaso in his mind or his activities. Gatva Bhutatmavyam. In this way, he is actually situated. And then the next verse in the ninth chapter states another quality of the Mahatma. Satatam Gyuti Yanto Mamyam Tascha. You know that verse? Okay. Satatam. That the same thing, actually it's the same thing as the previous verse almost. Satatam kirtiyanto mam. He's always engaged in kirtan. Of course, Prabhupada had a, and his spiritual master had a very, let's say, broad definition of what kirtan is. His definition, of course, there was the printing press was kirtan. What Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur called the Brihat Mardanga, you know, the big Mardanga. Because through the distribution of books, then so many people could hear Krishna Katha and have it be exposed to this kirtan. And Prabhupada considered that any activity that supported the kirtan, supported the Krishna consciousness movement's expansion, was kirtan. So it's not that you can say, well, someone's cooking in the kitchen, he's not doing kirtan, someone's doing deity worship, he's not doing kirtan. That's also part of the kirtan. Because Prabhupada said that we should have a model like the Indian railway system, which is keeping the wheels turning, and in order to keep the wheels turning, in other words, you have to have a lot of support troops in the Indian railways. And of course, I recently took a train in India. It wasn't the most pleasant experience in the three worlds. But still, you know, there's so many people, there's so many employees who work for the Indian railway system, and somehow or other my train was on time, which is remarkable. So, so anyway, so this is all kirtan mahatvadas tumam partha daivin prakriti mashrita nansatatam kirti yanto mam yutam tascha dridhavrata. So, anyway, so these are different symptoms of mahatma. And what was it also was going to say about the mahatma? Oh, yeah. Another point that Prabhupada makes here in the purport is in reference to the Mahabharata verse spoken by King Yudhisthira, Maharaj Yudhisthira, is that Tarko Pratishta Shutiyo Vibhina, that if one wants to understand the truth, see, Prabhupada quotes it here, he doesn't quote the whole thing, if one wants to understand the truth, one has to approach a Mahatma. Because if you approach anyone else for information, even rishis or others, Tarko Pratishta, or even if you approach the Vedic literatures, that's the first statement in this verse. Tarko Pratishta Shrutiyo Vibhina. No, actually, the first statement is by logic and reasoning, you cannot understand the absolute truth, simply employing your philosophy. And then, Shrutiyo Vibhina, the Vedic literatures are multi-branched. In other words, there's many different Vedic literatures. In fact, we see that in the Bhagavatam when Srila Vyasadeva is being chastised by his spiritual master Narada Muni because he had presented some Vedic literatures that would bewilder one if they didn't have the proper guidance. For example, the Mahabharata. If you read the Mahabharata and you don't have the proper guidance or the proper guru to tell you about the ultimate goal of life, then you may become very confused. And actually many people have put on the Mahabharata and they consider that both sides are bad in the Mahabharata war. I mean, I've seen that. Some people say, well, Krishna was bad because Krishna did what? He cheated in so many different ways. He encouraged Yudhisthira Maharaj to lie. And so if you don't have proper guidance, you'll think, oh, Krishna's one of the bad guys. Both sides were bad. And, you know, one side was less bad than the other side. But if you have proper guidance, you'll understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Vyasadeva was chastised by his spiritual master, Narada Muni, for not directly pointing out that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the Mahabharata. I mean, there is direct stuff, like in the Bhagavad Gita, which is part of the Mahabharata. But it's very difficult. That's just one small part. The rest of it, you know, you can figure out, you know, who is the hero of the Mahabharata? Is it Duryodhana? Oh, obviously, you shouldn't think it's Duryodhana. So therefore, Vyasadeva was chastised by Narada, and Narada told him to write literature that would directly point to the Supreme Personality of God, and that, of course, is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, Tarko Pratishta, Shutayo Vivina. So one can understand the truth simply by reading the Vedic literatures. It's not going to help one. In fact, there was even that verse we quoted yesterday. Trigunya Vishya Veda Nish Trigunya Pavarjana Nir Dvan Vo Nitya Sakrishto Nir Yoga Shema Agnabhav. That Krishna says to Arjuna, the Vedas mainly deal with the three modes of nature. So, and then the next verse is Nasavrishir Yasha Matam Navina. Nor can you understand the absolute truth by approaching the philosophers or the rishis, because they also have different. Whoops. There's Radharani's servant. They also have different opinions. And then Dharmasya Tatvam Nihitam Guhayam. The actual understanding of Dharma is actually hidden, is kept, and it is hidden, it is a secret in the hearts of the Mahatmas. Dharmasya Tattva Nihitam Guhayam. It's there and it's hidden, it's a secret, like Guhyam. Guhyam means secret. Yatamam means most secret. And then the final line is Mahajanyena Gata Sapanta. So therefore, if you actually want to know the absolute truth, what do you have to do? Prabhupada says, follow the path. And you probably use the English expression, chalked out, which is interesting. In America, we don't say, follow the path that I'm chalking out. But hey, you use that expression, follow the path chalked out by the Mahatmas, by the pure devotees. In other words, let's put it in practical terms for ourselves, that for us in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we have a Mahatma. And of course, that Mahatma is His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So Prabhupada has given us not only instructions, but example of what it means or how to be Krishna conscious. You know, we can come up with so many different ideas, austerities, and things like that. But Prabhupada himself showed us, you know, of course, the principles of books of the Vedas, utility. So we have this direct information about Prabhupada. Now, there's a database where you can read everything Prabhupada said. You have biographies that are coming out one after the other. It's like recently I read Jamuna's biography, and Sambhasundara's biography, and there's so many different biographies of Prabhupada, and Harishare's different experiences with Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Chur Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj. I mean, it's amazing. Devotees should really get to know Prabhupada. That's one thing I'm finding problematic right now, is that devotees are not really reading these biographies. Many devotees who've been in the movement, second generation, third generation, have not even read the Lilamrita. So really, if we want to understand how to be Krishna conscious in this day and age, and especially, you know, in America, or anywhere in the world, then we have to get to know Prabhupada in a very intimate way by reading about him. And then, Mahajanayana Gathasa Panta, then we have the path chalked out by this great Mahatma, and then our path is clear and simple. Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is simple for those who are simple. And for those who are not simple, it can be quite complicated. You know, because we add all these different procedures and all these different rituals and everything like that. I mean, obviously you can add different things, but really the essence is what Prabhupada taught us. You know, what would make Prabhupada happy? Increasing the number of devotees. And of course, you know, cleanliness in the temple. We have so many things like that. Cleanliness, punctuality, a deity worship. We have all those things. And there's no question about them. All right, so we'll leave 5 minutes open. Yeah.
In the purport, the sentence is that in one way seem to go against the, they don't go against philosophy, but I think they need to tease that a little bit. Therefore, one should not be misled by so-called gurus who are rascals and fools. Rather, one should directly see the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the guru or instructor. So we learn that one can't go to Krishna directly. Guru.
Right, right.
So what is it, you know, someone might say, oh, then I can just go to Krishna directly. In fact, it says right here, I mean, of course, Prabhupada does it make sense. You can't understand the Bhagavad Gita without the help of Guru. So when Prabhupada says we should go directly to Krishna as Guru.
Well, we should see. No, let's take the direct English here. Rather, one should directly see the Supreme Person. That doesn't say go.
Well, one might.
Yeah, you really have.
Yeah, one might go there with that. Say, oh, yeah, I don't have a guru yet, but I can just take Krishna's instruction from Bhagavad Gita. Fine. And then Prabhupada, of course, clarifies it in the next sentence.
Yeah. Yeah. So one should do. In other words, one should see Krishna acting through the guru, and not follow blindly. Too. I mean, obviously, we mentioned this in the previous class that if the guru differs, or his instructions differ from Krishna's instructions, that should not be accepted. So one should directly see. In other words, like I was mentioning, I think it was two or three days ago, that when you read Prabhupada's purport, if you also read some of the purports of the Acharyas, which I have a book of the purports of the Acharyas, that you'll see that Prabhupada is completely faithful to the Acharyas. And the Acharyas are faithful to Krishna. I mean, obviously, going all the way back through the cyclic succession. So you are directly getting Krishna. Because it's this, you know, I'm very impressed. You know, when I read the Acharyas commentaries, I'm very impressed by Prabhupada's faithfulness. And so that's really Samit Panish Rotriyam Brahmanishtam. So we are directly getting Krishna. And of course we have this verse in the Gur prayers, you know, Shaksha Duri Twaina Samasa Shastra Uptas Pata Bhav Yata Sabi. He's directly respected as the Supreme Personality of God because he's most dear to the Supreme Personality of God. And the Guru is speaking on behalf of the Lord. He's the another statement is he's the transparent via medium. So, I mean, so just like, I mean, it's not exactly the same, but it's an example. Just like if you have a telephone, and I'm speaking, you know, one, or someone is speaking in one end of the telephone, and you're hearing it like 100 or 1,000 miles away. That's direct hearing. So it's not exactly the same as the guru. The guru is not just repeating verbatim, because he puts the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead into the proper context in which he's presenting them, so that people can understand. That's what an acharya means. So, yeah, so one should say, one should directly see the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the guru or instructor when one's approaching a bona fide guru. And then, you know, when I saw or approached Prabhupada, I directly see Krishna speaking through Srila Prabhupada. Does that answer the question? Yeah. Other questions or comments or arguments or problems? Yes.
I just had a question. I was listening at the house on the way over, and you were talking about how you were speaking about the wheels turning, about like the railroad and one has different.
Keep the wheels turning.
But at the same time, isn't it important, maybe to a different extent, that everybody actually engage in at some time chanting at their time as far as what? Even your own personal.
Oh yeah, and then we have our sadhana that's obligatory for everyone who wants to be Krishna conscious. I mean, it's not obligatory if you don't want to be Krishna conscious, but yes, that has to be there. And preaching, if one preaches, it actually, everyone should preach somehow or other at some particular circumstance, because that will enliven one. When I joined the Krishna conscious movement, everybody went out and preached at least once a week. You know, whether it was Harinam or book distribution, there was a real preaching spirit. Even when we went to the grocery stores, because you call them supermarkets nowadays, then we would somehow or other distribute, always take books with us. And my godbrother, Vaisheshika, emphasizes this. He says the first rule of book distribution, does anyone know what the first rule is?
Show the books.
No, you gotta have books.
Yeah.
That's the first rule. So where?
Books, no
just. Yeah, because you can't distribute without books. So anywhere we went, we always took a few books with us, and it was amazing. And then just about everybody went on book distribution at least once a week, or Harinam. Jai Radha Gulokananda, Radha Gulokananda ki jai.